I'm Mark Bayshore. There's much to talk about in the city of East Lansing these days. The city council's putting the finishing touches on a budget for the coming fiscal year. The city's financial health team is talking about how to address about $100 million in unfunded legacy costs. And the long-empty former bank building at the corner of Grand River Avenue and Abbott Road is finally set to be demolished. East Lansing Mayor Mark Meadows joins us to share his thoughts on these and other issues. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you for being here today. What's most notable about this new budget?
All our budgets must be balanced.
Correct.
So,
by
course,
law.
That's very notable that it is a balanced budget. The feds don't have that same requirement.
You're following the law.
And we're following the law, yes. I think that, in a time when we're challenged financially, largely because of the reduced contribution from the state, and I don't even know if I'd call it a contribution. There was a deal struck back in the 30s that, sent money towards local units of government in exchange for having a single tax on sales across the state of Michigan. Other states have local sales tax. We don't have that. So local units of government have a restricted ability to, gather money together from retail activity within their communities. And that reduction, which has been continuous from the state level, has put a lot of communities in financial distress. And, we've had to struggle with it. But, things are looking good. Our property values are going up. Property sales are taking place. Houses fly off the market. I mean, there are multiple offers for homes in the city of East Lansing. And I think that's a very good sign. And our revenues are increasing. So the budget this year is a solid budget.
You're spending more money next year than this year?
We are, and we're spending more money to provide more appropriate services for our citizens, but also to take into account that we do have inflation, and we have to, always have some increase in budget to meet those inflationary costs.
Is there any likelihood the council might pursue tax or fee hikes in the next year?
We'll see. I can't say that is off the table, only because we haven't had a complete report from the financial health team, and that was one of the issues they were to recommend to us. I think it's unlikely, but I'm not saying that it couldn't happen.
Part of the budget conversation on May 17th had to do with the parking fee schedule. One idea had been to extend parking fee hours all the way to 3 a.m. Where does that stand?
We did do that. We extended parking enforcement to 3 a.m. as soon as we have these smart meters installed. And what that means is, Mark, that when you're sitting there with your wife at the Black Cat Bistro, and you say, "Oh
at
man!"
At 3 a.m.
At 2 a.m. as usual, and the and you say, "Oh my God, they've got I think the meter might be running out." You can actually take your smartphone and put more money into the meter. And so when we have that capability, yes, we're gonna run the meters until 3 a.m. and only in certain areas. For instance, over on Valley Court, our business is along Valley Court. There's no option there to park in a parking structure where you have, you can take your car off the street and not worry about overextending time on a meter. So we've excluded that particular area.
When do those smart meters go in?
Should have those smart meters in by the end of the summer, maybe even by August.
I know your city manager, George Lahanas, has discussed a proposal to place a bond issue on the November ballot to fund parks and recreation. It got some support, and there were others like you who I think took a more cautious approach. You want to hear from the financial health team, I take it, before deciding. Why the caution there?
Well, I think that, we put together a financial health team to make a lot of recommendations to us, just simply replacing a bond that we use to construct athletic facilities and recreational facilities in the community. Maybe we'd want to use that opportunity to do other things like resurface our roads, which people are complaining about. So I think that, number one, it wasn't a good idea to just say we're just replacing this to do the same thing we were doing before. But, we didn't have a discussion or even a study to determine whether an additional bond or renewing this bond should be used in terms of funding other activities.
Other projects, yeah. Okay. Speaking of the financial health team, what are they contributing here to the budget talks? How involved are they?
Well, they aren't really involved in this budget because this budget we just adopted last week. But the idea was for the financial health team that by next year's budget time, because their final report is due to us in December, by next year's budget process, we would be able to utilize their recommendations to determine where we would go to make sure that the city remains a financially stable community. And one of those things might be, you know, we should have a report from them by the end of July on legacy costs, for instance. And legacy costs are pensions plus what we call OPEB, other post-employment benefits, which would be health care generally. And so those two things are different. So about $70 million in unfunded liability on the pension end, $30 million on the OPEB end. We are not required by the Constitution to actually provide OPEB. So it's an entirely different issue to be discussed. But in terms of the pensions, we are required to do those pensions. And once they are granted, that's a contract between the community and the individual, which the Constitution protects. And so those we have to deal with differently. I know that the financial health team is discussing bonding, which is permitted under state law, to eliminate the unfunded liability in there. I don't think that we actually have the ability to fully bond at $70 million. We have a bond limit, which I think is at about $60 million. But the major portion of that is public safety pensions. In East Lansing, about $46 million of that $70 million relates to police and fire pensions.
The city does offer retirees, though, under the OPEB part of the ledger here. The city does offer retirement health care.
Correct.
Correct. And that falls under the OPEB. That falls under discretionary, correct?
That is. That was actually a lawsuit brought by MEA several years ago, and the Supreme Court ruled that it wasn't required to be given. So it wasn't the same as pensions.
Do you think the financial health team might come back with a recommendation to cut that or eliminate that or tinker with that in any way?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, we haven't asked them to make a recommendation in terms of tinkering. But those are, for instance, we just recently renegotiated our contract with McLaren. So we reduced our costs in that area. So when we get we're having this whole issue reviewed by MERS at this point in time, we should have a report by the end of June that updates our numbers, and it will update the OPEB numbers. Those may go down, actually. So
I know Council Member Ruth Beyer is impressed with some of the credentials of the people on the financial health team. You appear to have some pretty significant brain power on this panel. Are you encouraged by the contribution that they are going to make?
Yeah, I am. I think that it's going to be very useful to the city going forward, and I'm glad that we did it this way. And if the time comes when we need to reconstitute it, I'm fully supportive of the idea that we continue this use of expertise in recommending our options. In going forward, the objective is to have the city financially stable, and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that happens.
Mark Meadows is the mayor of East Lansing. We are talking about the city budget and other issues. When will the bank building at Grand River and Abbott come down?
It could come down sooner than December 31st. That bank building must be down by December 31st. So there are some people in the community who have said, that's a great New Year's Eve party to watch the building come down, but I'm hoping that it's down before then. But I wouldn't mind having a community party regarding that. But the limitation on that is that it can be done sooner. As soon as we resolve an issue that we have with the state of Michigan regarding some tax credits that have been promised for that property over a period of time, those are at issue right now because of the delay in getting anything done on the corner. But the new owners of that property were just in this week with a sketch of a, a building, a hotel that they want to put up on that corner. And I think that, you know, that'll be going forward sooner rather than later. So you could see that building actually come down.
Remind us who owns the property.
It's a group out of Chicago. And I apologize if I have the wrong acronym here, because it's either DDR or DHR. It's a property development group that is self-funded. So they have their own money that they utilize. We don't have some of the issues that we had associated with that property in the past. They're very enthusiastic about the area. They've talked about this building on the corner being the first building that they would construct in the area. And then they've also talked about some plans with regard to the interior of the property, which, you know, includes those two apartment buildings, which will be down by the end of July. And I might add that the little bank building that the DDA owns, that property should be done. That should be down by mid-July.
I love the idea of a New Year's Eve demolition party.
I think it could be fun.
That would generate a lot of talk and some attendance, I think. More reasons to celebrate. You suggested to current state, I want to say as early as the day after the election last November, that you and others wanted to pursue development differently in the future. And in a nutshell, I took that to mean deals that are less favorable to developers. Now, I'm led to believe that on Tuesday night, that approach seemed to play out regarding the White Oak development. This is the site of the old Tasty Twist on Grand River. Can you talk to us about the arrangement that the city agreed to with, this is developer Joe Goodser, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Did that philosophy play out in what happened on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think it did. You know, there was a dynamic there that probably some council members didn't even expect. You know, there was general dissatisfaction or distrust, I would say, in the community. When I was going door to door, that I would receive relating to the tax increment financing deals that were cut with some developers in the downtown, particularly in relation to the construction of residential housing for students that's close to campus. I think the perception in the community is that is very valuable housing and it doesn't need any incentives, that it's going to fill up immediately. Students want to be closer to campus, and you know, I think that that's pretty obvious, actually. Joe's project, which is a six-story building, is if it goes forward, would start a signal additional density along Grand River closer to campus, and in particularly in his project, you know, it is student-oriented construction. So there were a couple of members of council who didn't feel that it needed any incentives, and there were some that felt that you know, it did need incentives. My viewpoint was...
It was a unanimous vote, though, wasn't it?
It was a unanimous vote. And my viewpoint was that we limited our, in this case, brownfield, to the actual cost or the actual predicted cost of an environmental cleanup there. which was a serious environmental cleanup. There was a gas station there. That gas station did leak. It did get all the way to the Red Cedar River at one point, but was drawn back, you know, maybe 15 years ago. And so it needs to be taken care of. So this money that we awarded to him is to take care of that. He gets reimbursed on it over a period of time. The uniqueness of it was that we went 30 years, the maximum number of years that we can do it. That increases the tax value for the city in terms of tax revenue. It also provides a appropriate and reasonable tax increment financing for the individual, in this case, Mr. Goodser, over a 30-year period, which should do well for him over that period of time. It also might be the biggest tax increment financing in terms of value that's ever been done in the city.
We're just about out of time, but I got to ask one more
question.
Could more deals like this, less generous to developers than in the past, slow down development? I mean, could developers stop looking at East Lansing as a good place to launch a business?
You know, I've got two hands in front of me. I can tell you right now, there are more than, I need another hand to count the number of deals that are coming to us at this point in time. So all I can tell you is it doesn't seem to have said to any developer, don't come here and don't try to develop.
Mark Meadows is mayor of East Lansing. He's been talking with us about the city's 2017 fiscal year budget and other issues, development and others facing the city council and city manager George Lahanas this summer. Mark Meadows, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.